Hi, and welcome to the audio blog. Incredible, special edition. I'm here in Milan. Can you believe it? And what is even more special and incredible is that with me is...
Jason, hello.
Can you believe that? So it's incredible. I was in Italy for my trip, and Jason happened to be traveling in Europe. So we managed to arrange to meet here.
Yeah, it's my first time in Milan. It's my first time in this part of Europe, actually. It's fantastic. Love it here.
Yeah, so we couldn't miss the opportunity to have a podcast on the spot, in place, since we've been talking about Italy all this time. And actually, give me a chance to ask Jason, all right, now that we're here, what do you think? What is the thing that impressed you the most? What is the thing that disappointed you the most?
Well, in Milan right now, yeah, right in the center here, I'm just amazed at all the people, all the vitality in the city. And actually, all over Europe, there's so many people out walking around. It's amazing when you compare it to even Vancouver, which is kind of famous for having everybody out in the streets, especially in the summer.
Yeah,
it's nothing compared to Vancouver is nothing compared to here in Europe. So, yeah, that's probably my greatest impression is the vitality of all the cities here.
So really busy and really intense.
Yeah, especially in Milan. You know, like we stop a couple times to get coffee, and in Canada. Of course, if you say, hey, let's go grab a coffee, it means my legs are tired. Let's go sit down and take a break for a while.
Yeah.
But here, as you write in your blog, yeah, you don't sit down. You just order it. You drink it. You go. You get out of there, right? So, yeah. So I'm kind of curious, like, where do people sit in this city? Do you ever take a break?
So Milan is probably the capital of business and the economy. So this is a place where people don't sit very much. So they're here to do work, and they probably then get on the train and commute back home for the night. Not many people can actually afford to live in Milan, but a lot of people do find jobs here. So yes, coffee is pretty much a quick coffee break, which is meant to give you some energy. It's not meant to make you rest at all. But it's not the same in other cities. The more you move away from the crowded places and the big economic places, people relax a little bit more, and you can actually have a coffee while sitting down in a cafe, enjoying the piazza, and actually relax with your coffee as well.
Yeah, for sure. Like I spent 4 days in the north in Brixen, and with a friend's girlfriend. She showed me around. She's a local. She grew up there. Yep. And she said that their culture is you go to a restaurant and the culture is relax. I mean, this is, you could spend 4 hours at a restaurant to just talk. And we did that, you know, and it's wonderful. It's definitely a slower pace than here. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And you see, you know, now we are in the city center. But again, the more you move out and away from the crowded touristy places, it's going to get quieter. And when we go later for aperitivo, it's going to be our pre-dinner drink, you see that people actually start to chill. This is after the work day, after the day is over, and they relax usually around 6 p.m., 7 p.m., and they get a snack while getting ready for dinner, which is usually had later. In Milan, I'd say around 8, 8.30. The southern you go, the later it gets. It can be 9, 10 p.m., even later in Rome and Naples. So, but here, you know, you see people stop working and then actually start chilling out.
So one thing that surprised me about Milan, this is known as one of the fashion capitals of the world, right?
Yep.
And Vancouver, on the other hand, is known as being one of the most unfashionable places in the world, where pretty well everyone on the street looks like they're ready to climb a mountain. Yeah? So I was expecting something extraordinary when I walked through the town here. I was actually kind of worried if I was, you know, dressed well enough. We actually had to go buy some new shoes, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he was wearing flip-flops in Milan. Can you believe that? I think my mom would have not let him leave the hotel. You know, no, you're going back. No. You're going back and get changed. Are you kidding me? Flip-flops?
Yeah, we did walk into that expensive store. I ended up buying Gucci shoes.
What did she do?
She gave me a funny look. Yeah, she did. Of course, we ended up buying shoes from her.
So first thing she did, she put away your flip-flops.
That's right. They, she, yeah, we had all these boxes, Gucci's on the floor, and And my flip-flops disappeared pretty quickly. Yeah.
She packed them, and then she ended up giving them back to you in a Gucci bag that disguised as a Gucci item, just to be able to exit the store. It was in a fancy area, it's exactly in Via Monte Napoleone. That, for people that know Milan, is really the center of fashion. So I guess you were pretty daring.
It's been the most expensive part of my trip, those shoes. Yeah, but one thing that surprised me just walking around, there are definitely some very fashionable people here. But yeah, that average, maybe not so. Maybe that's the tourists bringing down the average. But I'm kind of surprised that it's really not so much different than Vancouver. What do you think, Paolo?
Well, yeah, for sure. It's the summer, for one thing. So a lot of people are very lightly dressed. And therefore, you can see some shorts. And there's tourists around. You know, you're going to notice when the workday ends and there's people that are leaving their offices to go for drinks or to go home, that they're wearing their suits that they were wearing at work. So now it's very much the afternoon. There's a lot of young people too, and probably students. So that explains a little bit. But yeah, I'm sorry it disappointed you. That's too bad.
We'll see what happens in the evening then.
You're fitting in pretty well, actually. You're above the average here.
Wow, that's never happened for me.
Now that you got your shoes on.
Great, wonderful.
So is there something that you didn't expect, something that ended up being different or more or less than you expected?
Well, let's see. Just a lot more energy here than I was expecting. You know, I came through Berlin, Vienna, Prague, and these are very industrious places. They're very proud of their efficiency. But it seemed a much more orderly places compared to Milan. Milan is like, it's kind of chaotic. Just crossing the street is a little exciting. So that's something that I wasn't expecting at all.
Oh, yeah. We are in Corso Vittorio Emanuele. It's one of the most chaotic places in the city. It's totally our main square where everybody that doesn't know where to go comes, right? So it's totally a hangout place for everyone. So it's like, what do you do? You go there. This morning we went to have lunch at Luini. And that's something that I meant to ask you. So what was your impression for the panzerotto you had?
It's incredible. Yeah, just very simple ingredients, right? It was just mozzarella and tomatoes. That's it. And yeah. So it's fantastic. Yeah.
Did it remind you of a pizza pop at all?
No, thank goodness. Yeah, I'm kind of sad actually that the North American equivalent is the pizza pop. I feel we could do much better than a pizza pop, even in an industrial scale. Surely we could get closer to that sort of quality.
Well, people here are very devoted to that bakery, because it's a bakery. And you can't sit down inside. It's very small. People line up, like huge lineups on both ends of the street to get in. And there's somebody also helping them get on the right lines and not make a mess and come out quickly. So we're very devoted to it. It's something special. We all love it. And it's something that you cannot really make at home. And this is one of the secrets of a successful restaurant. Anytime you're making something that you cannot make at home easily, like a good pizza, because you need a wood-burning oven, you know, the proper tools, you're going to be successful in Italy. Because everybody can cook, so you don't get famous for your risotto, because everybody can make a good risotto, I think. A lot of people can. So anyway, so that's your panzerotto. Yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, one thing, I guess that's a cultural thing, right? The quality of this sort of food. Italians seem to care about that, so the quality goes up. So I went to a trattoria last night. Yeah, just a little place off on some side street.
It's pronounced trattoria.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
yeah, it was amazing. So I walked in. The guy didn't speak any English. My Italian's kind of limited to a few words that are similar to Spanish. Yep. And but you managed to order some incredible food, and it was really a great experience.
What did you have? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was like a pork cutlet. What is it called then?
Oh, cotoletta.
Yeah, cotoletta. That's it.
Which
yeah.
is interesting because it's an Italian word that comes from English. It's actually cutlet that was Italianized. Often we do the opposite, give English some Italian words, but in this case it's the other way around, and we think it's totally Italian, but it's not. So it's kind of cool. So you had this cotoletta, which is like a schnitzel, is usually breaded.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I didn't know what it was. I could just read on the menu that it was traditional Milanese, so I ordered it. And then it comes out and it's like a schnitzel. Having been through Austria and Germany, another schnitzel. Yeah, it's fantastic. It was actually quite different than the German and the Austrian ones, and very, very, very good. I also ordered the mozzarella, yeah, the buffalo, yeah. And it was kind of enormous, actually. I was surprised at how big it was. But I remember from our podcast, yeah, when we're talking about subtlety of flavor.
Oh, right.
And you mentioned mozzarella. And I had exactly that experience, yeah. The first bite was kind of, oh, yeah, it's all right. It's really not a lot there to grab you. But then as you continued on and had a few more bites, it just got incredible. It was just so, I wouldn't say intense, but just... like there was so much there. The sensation was just really, really incredible.
Sorry, the person you heard screaming was not somebody getting killed. It was just a girl making jokes or something that walked by. All right, and also we had the espresso. We walked into one of those cafes, more than one actually, a couple of them. And did it meet your expectations?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I was surprised at how different we went to two. Right?
Yeah? Yes.
I was surprised at how different they were. The first one was I think a bit better. Although the second one was definitely better than your average one in yeah. Canada. They're both very good, but yeah, very creamy. And the movements of the barista were so efficient. That was really the thing that got my attention.
Yeah, it's true. It's something that I always noticed. Especially in Milan, especially in cafes that are very popular, the people that work there, the barista, are so nicely trained and they're so precise in their movements. It's a dance and so perfect. And the result shows the attention that is put in it. They're not kids that somehow ended up working there at Starbucks. There's a completely different attitude. It's a very respected job too. So, yeah, that's one thing that I also noticed. You don't get necessarily the same in a small town cafe. You can find that it's just the owner that makes the coffee. It's just like it does everything else. Here, they're a lot more specialized.
Yeah, you can tell. It's absolutely... I understand now why there's actually a professional job title for a guy that makes coffee.
That's right. All right, I think we got to the end of this exceptional episode of the audio blog. And from Paolo and Jason here in Milan, thanks everybody for listening. And we hope to get back to you soon with something else.
Yes, everybody, you should come here. You have to check this city out. It's fantastic.
Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.